Soundproof?
I feel it in the back of my head is a radio instructional for the moving listener, created by Madeline Flynn and Tim Humphrey, artists who regularly work with spatial relationships between the body and sound. In episode 3, musician and pianist Michelle Stevens introduces us to the world of social haptics. Michelle was born blind and has subsequently become deaf, so she wears a 16-bit cochlear implant. She's worked with her Auslan interpreter Dennis Whitcomb for over 12 years. Dennis recently returned from Finland, where he studied with the creators of social haptics, Dr. Riitta Lahtinen and Russ Palmer, a system where messages are conveyed through touch. Together, Michelle and Dennis have expanded the emerging system of social haptics to include musical feedback, direction, and notation. Here's I Feel It in the Back of My Head, Episode 3, for listening with the body.
Okay, that's fine. Would you like a voice test, Angie? Okay, Angie, okay, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
That sounds great.
As a person's eyes start diminishing, they develop a tunnel vision, then we use what's called a visual frame. So we keep our sign language within a very small space in front of our body so that the hands can be seen. If we move outside that space, the hands are lost to the person's sight. So we need to keep that sign language quite small. And then over time, as their eyes diminish again, then they may reach out and hold one of my wrists just to be able to see the movement of the hand. Their eyes are still strong enough to see shapes, the hand shapes. Which fingers are straight, which fingers are bent. But if I move my hands, often my hands are lost to their sight. So this is called tracking. The next stage would be two hands on both wrists for full tracking. And then as their eyes start shutting down or they see less clearly, then their hands will come up to the back of my hands and start feeling which fingers are straight, which fingers are bent. And this is the beginning of tactile sign.
Would you think Granger would be a good piece?
I think Granger's a good piece, just because that's what we did recently together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, call. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
Would you like to have a run at Granger?
Great. Try and take on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for instance, when I first met Michelle, she was using visual frame, so I could stand at probably a metre and a half away from Michelle and sign in a small space, and she was able to see my sign language. But her eyes became worse and worse, so she started reaching out and using tactile. And now, when we work with Michelle, she uses full tactile mode.
So this is something that I think all musicians, not only those of us who have a hearing impairment, and you see, which I hope we'll talk about, that the cochlear implant that I use is actually described, I've described to people that the implant quite often sounds like when people are talking, it sounds like listening to a recording that is quite distorted. When people hear the piano, you've got thousands of nerves in your head that gives those signals to the brains. I've got 22. I have very little to no hearing on my right ear, so my hearing threshold is approximately on my right about 100 dB, and I think about the same on my left.
Michelle's knowledge of music is much greater than mine, so really the language comes from Michelle.
Haptics is done on my back, so it's really useful where the person can actually say, oh, I want you to go back to bar three because of da-da-da-da, so I don't need to stop playing.
It's a way of relaying messages onto the body of another person. In the past, we would have to gain Michelle's attention, her hands would have to come off the keys, she would swivel around, she'd place her hands on top of my hands, and I would relay a message like, repeat that passage. A very, very small comment, but it took her away from the piano, and then she would have to go back and refocus and pick up what she was doing. But with social haptics, I can relay messages now onto Michelle's back while she's playing. So there's no interruption to her concentration. She receives the messages and continues playing.
The relationship with the piano has been a little bit like sometimes you could find a marriage relationship. Sometimes it's been on and off again, but mostly on. The relationship with the piano has been my saviour, but also to the piano has sometimes been a real challenge, particularly later on in years when I became sick with my ear problems.
In Michelle's situation, because she reads music, we sat down and had a discussion about what language comes from the instructor. And then we had a discussion about, okay, what symbol can we use that means something to Michelle? I can't just make up a symbol and say, okay, well, this will mean a pause. This will mean pianissimo. I can't just make it up. So whatever's relevant to Michelle and has some meaning to that message, then we agree on that symbol.
Oh, God. Yay. Oh. I'm actually using not only my memory, it's at the back of my mind, my memory, but also I'm using my vast experience musically to actually get things to produce the sounds that I want to produce.
Social haptics is a natural way of communication that deafblind people themselves develop. So because they're deaf and blind, the other senses are heightened. So they get 90% of their information of the world around them through touch.
When I'm working with Ben, who interprets for me for one of my classes, he actually he writes the notes on my shoulder. So if I'm playing with someone, he'll sort of write G, D, D7, B or whatever. At the same time, he's keeping rhythm on my shoulder. So being a drummer, he's able to actually do two things at once. In actual fact, he's doing three things at once. He's looking at the music, keeping rhythm, helping to keep rhythm for me, but also telling me what the chord structures are.
I can adjust the pressure of touch, the speed of touch, wiggling my fingers onto their arm. tapping action, adjusting speed and pressure can give different emotions or different understandings.
The system that we use is actually very similar to people who look at a conductor in an orchestra. You know, he's sort of telling, giving them the timing, the dynamics, slow down, faster, etc.
And it's like a zoom in and a zoom out. I can drag my hands into a large circle, into a large space, and bring that small corner into a larger area onto their back and say, okay, now I've zoomed into that corner and I want to talk about what's within that space.
What's really amazing with haptics is that Ben and I have been able to take haptics that little bit further. For instance, we're doing a lot of experimental music in one of my classes where I'm playing with other people.
The map could be a map of a room, it could be the map of a table to see where the hot urn is and where the cups are and where the biscuits are sitting. It could be a drawing of a necklace at a museum that's sitting behind glass. So that map is not just a map, it's also a description of something within that space.
And it's actually music that I've never heard of before. So Ben was reading the music, I was playing the bass, and he was saying G, D, A, E, etc., writing that on my shoulder. At the same time, he was tapping a rhythm on my shoulder to make sure I was sort of keeping time. With music, we can keep taking new paths, exploring. We don't have to sort of be the same old all the time.
Now we can have them feel truly present within an environment.
So in actual fact, you know, so what Maddie would do, let's say if I started the Debussy. So Maddie would actually say, no, I want you to play bar one and two again. And she would draw on my back bar two, bar one and two. And I'd have to go, etc.
Social haptic communication is one or more persons in a situation and relaying social messages.
Lost my hearing. I didn't only lose music, also too, I lost my career. Although I still know when I come to piano, you know, I sort of test it, see what it's like, do the typical tuning scale. Etc. So, you know, I can't help touching a piano without sort of doing the tuner scale. But also too, it's something that I lost virtually overnight. So now I have to sort of pay other people and criticise other people. And criticise other people as well. Hey, this will be edited out, guys, I know. But not bad.
I reckon it's out a little bit of out of tune in the middle register.
Yep.
Yes, that was an ABC piano. I Feel It in the Back of My Head, Episode 3, For Listening with the Body, by Madeline Flynn and Tim Humphrey. You heard the voices of pianist and musician Michelle Stevens and Auslan and social haptics interpreter Dennis Whitcomb. Learn more about social haptics and Michelle's phenomenal music practice and check out Episode 1 and 2 at the Soundproof website, abc.net.au/rn/soundproof. And while you're online, why not tweet us where and how you were listening to this episode at rn_cau. Find us and like us on Facebook, ABC RN's Creative Audio Unit.